To conclude our fellowship on this burden from this week that really covers the matter of our going on as the working saints, as the young married couples and young single saints in the church life, how do we proceed and how can we experience the Lord more and function more in the body of Christ? And it's related to our heart and our spirit. So we've been on this and we'd like to somewhat conclude. So I have prepared there is an outline here for you. We're going to cover a little bit mainly on the intuition, but we'll touch the matter of the fellowship, this function of our spirit, a little bit as we get into this. And I wanted to put the chart back up here because I think it is very helpful, especially for newer ones or younger ones, to kind of have something visually to look at and consider how we're going on in the Lord. And as we've seen very clearly yesterday, there was a lot of attention paid to this function of our spirit, the conscience, which we saw in several verses is what? The leading part of our spirit, right? And in another verse, what? The main part of our spirit. A very crucial part of our spirit is our conscience. Even somewhat, I think our brother mentioned, like the gateway to all these experiences of Christ in our spirit and through our spirit is through the conscience. Because the conscience is part of the heart and is part of the spirit. I don't know if this makes it a little easier, but our heart is composed of our conscience and all the three parts of our soul. Oh, no, that's the wrong way. Yeah. The conscience is, you know, all the soul. And this, you know, if we would, it's the three parts of the soul, and the conscience is our heart. So this is another way to see the importance of our conscience. And I just want to spend a minute here on the conscience. For those of you who are involved with computers at all or with any kind of programming, you know, the conscience is not binary. That means it's not on or off. We have this kind of thought sometimes. If I sin, of course, when we sin, we lose our fellowship with the Lord. That's right. But it's not that our conscience then is absolutely not operating at all. It's not binary. It's not just on or off. There are levels. There are, you know, there is a way. Still, even though I sin and I'm, you know, I'm frustrated, still the Lord is touching me. And I can somewhat experience the Lord to some degree. And but not fully, because my conscience is offended. And I've offended God and I've sinned against God. Maybe I've sinned against man. But it's not like totally off. There's still something working of our inward parts. And so maybe a good example of this is like, I don't know how many of you use honey at home, but you know, you can buy these little honey bears. Have you ever gotten a little honey bear and has a little tube at the top, you know, and you clip a little bit off and you can squeeze a little honey out. I never like those things. You don't get much honey out, you know. You clip off a little bit, you're pushing it really hard, you just get a little bit, you know. So, but you can cut it down lower and you get a little bigger hole, but it's still not too hard. The best thing is just take the whole top off and you can. There's not much flow from that little. So when we offend our conscience, there's a little flow, but it's not much flow. What we want is a purified conscience without offense before God so we can have flow, right? Right? We sing that song, fill my spirit up, fill it up, right? And then, right? Then flow it out, right? We want a big flow. We want the flow to come and fill us and flood us. So for that, we need to take care of our conscience by thoroughly confessing our sins. And last night, I was very helped. I think many were helped. The one aspect of confessing our sins is to clear the arteries of our mind, emotion, and will. The arteries of our heart get clogged. We think the wrong things. We have concepts that are frustrating us. We love the wrong things. We still love many aspects of the world, and some things may even become like idols to us because we love them so much. That really frustrates the Lord. The Lord hates idolatry, and not just physical idolatry, but you know, loving things more than the Lord is idolatry. So we have things in our heart, arteries of our emotion, that we love things that God hates, but we just can't help it. We just want them. They feed us somehow. They feed our souls. So that artery of the emotion has to get cleared out. And then our will, you know, we're just not willing sometimes. Not submissive to the Lord. Our will is stubborn. In the Old Testament, you know, many times Jehovah would say, this is a stiff-necked people, you know. They're just stubborn, unwilling to follow the Lord. And we're the same way. And so I was helped with this on the arteries. I don't know how many were helped last night, but I think it helps in my confession to the Lord to pinpoint, what have I been thinking about? What have I been loving? How about my will? I'm not so willing to obey you when you ask me to do something. And that helps to clear out the arteries of the heart. And then, you know, then the result is flow. You get a lot of flow. And you get a lot of enjoyment of the Lord. Why? Because we've been dealing with our conscience. And young saints, we never graduate from this. We never graduate. We never, you know, the Christian life is not reach a plateau and you're here, you know. Like sometimes on some jobs, you know, you get the supervisor's job, you're never going to go down. You're just, you know, you may not be good enough to go up, but you're going to at least stay there, you know, plateau out wherever you are in your company. It's not like that in the Christian life. It's always, you know. But don't be discouraged. You go up, you go down. You usually don't go down as far as you came up. And then when you go up a little higher. This is the normal, you know. We're on the right trajectory. But we have to take care of our conscience. We have to take care of our conscience. And I think this point about clearing the arteries of our heart is a big help. A big help. And so, and it's also a big help to realize it's not a matter of just on or off, okay, you know. It's not binary. We need to clear things out so that life can flow. And so this outline goes on to this matter of the fellowship function of our spirit, and then eventually on to the intuition, or the anointing, which is also known as the intuition function of our spirit. So maybe we can look at this outline. If you have your Bible, I'd like you to turn to 1 John chapter 1, related to the fellowship of life. And we'll spend a little time on this, but mainly we want to cover obeying the teaching of the anointing. The verses here are 1 through 7. I think we have the time. Let's read 1 John 1, 1 through 7. How about we all read 1 together, then brothers on 2, sisters 3, and we'll read 7 together. All together on 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we beheld and our hands handled, the word of life. And the light manifested, and we have seen and testify and report to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to sisters.
That which we have seen and heard, we report also to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ.
Brothers, and these things we write, that your joy may be made full.
And this is the message which we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light and there is no darkness in him at all.
If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and are not practicing altogether. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship another,
and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from every sin.
So most of what we're going to share in this first part is in these seven verses. And the outline, Roman 1, is on the fellowship of life. And let's read letter C together. The meaning of the fellowship of life is joint participation or common participation. It is the flow of the eternal life within all the believers who have received, possessed. And there's a very good footnote in 1 John 1:3, footnote 3:3, and we're not going to read it, but it gives us more definition on the meaning of this word, fellowship. Fellowship. From this point, we can see that this word fellowship means a joint participation, a common participation. Many times when we, you know, as Christians, we hear this word fellowship, I need to go have some fellowship with my brother Anderson here. Our thought is we're going to talk about the Lord together, or we have a problem and we need some advice. We need some counseling. So we come for, quote, unquote, fellowship. Well, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with calling that fellowship. It should be fellowship. But fellowship is not just getting approval or advice for something. I have this job offer. I'm not sure. So I go to my brother Anderson. I say, and then he says, well, does that mean you're going to have to move from New York? Yeah, I'm going to have to move. So his advice is, don't move from New York. And he gives me this fellowship. Well, if we haven't jointly participated in this divine life, it's not fellowship. It's just advice. Might be good advice to get out of New York. I don't know. But that is not the meaning. The meaning is a common participation in this divine life and in the flow of this divine life. That's what fellowship is. And when we go for fellowship, we should receive more flow of this life. We may not receive an answer to our, question or problem or whatever we, want to bring up to the brothers and sisters, but we should receive life. We should receive the flow of this life. And in the flow of this life, very often, our question is answered. Not openly, not audibly by the people we're fellowshipping with, but by the life within that is flowing and is moving within us, because now we have tapped in to this matter of fellowship. And this is what the Apostle John is writing about. We have seen and heard this life. We were with the Lord Jesus. Now we want to fellowship this with you so that you can participate in the flow of this life, of this divine life. So that is a very important definition. We should be very clear. That's what fellowship is. And, sometimes if I'm expecting, I go to the brothers and I'm expecting to get an answer to my problem, and they just lead me to the Lord and pray and encourage me just to follow the Lord, maybe I would be disappointed because I'm expecting something like advice. Well, please remember this definition. Don't expect an answer. You may not get the answer. It may not be that clear. Now, in the fellowship, you're having some enjoying the Lord together and fellowshipping about this situation. It may be that there's a suggestion that we all, feel good about. That may be an answer. And we all feel good. At that time, we say, brothers, I feel after this fellowship, I feel maybe I should or shouldn't take this job, or I should take it, And we all feel good about that. That it may be in that, but it's in the context of the flow of this divine life. So that is the meaning of fellowship. Now, another point in D, which I just want to bring up for any of the new ones or younger ones that are among us. Let's read D together. We must pay much attention to maintain the fellowship of life. It is very important to realize that the believer's relationship in life with God is unbreakable, but their fellowship with Him is. We have a divine relationship with our Father God. We've received His life. We are His sons, His children. And that relationship with God in life can never be broken. Amen. You have to be clear about this. I don't care how much we sin, I don't care how far into the world you go, you are still a child of God in the world and in sin. Amen. You're still a child of God. You cannot lose your relationship with God like that, right? Just like our children in our family. we may have a problem. One of my children may have a problem and may want to leave the family and not have anything to do with Kathy and I anymore. And okay, well, I'm sorry about that. That's really sad. And it's been very, very, very painful, but you're still my son. And I'm still your father. That is unbreakable. But our communication, our relationship has been broken. There's a damage there. Something happened. So it's the same when we sin. We enjoy our fellowship with our Father. Did you enjoy the Lord's table this morning? I just thoroughly enjoyed the Lord's table this morning because we have a relationship with our Father. So we can thank Him and worship Him and enjoy Him and feast on Him. But if this afternoon I go home and, you know, get into a fight with my wife about something, I will lose the fellowship. That enjoyment will be gone because I've broken, you know, I've sinned against God and I've hurt my wife's feelings or whatever happens there. We can break this fellowship with Him. We can break this fellowship with Him. Now, some Christians feel like I've lost my salvation, especially Pentecostal, you know, Christians, charismatic Christians. They teach that you can lose your salvation. And so when you lose the fellowship, when you sin and you fail and you lose your, you know, what we would describe as the enjoyment of God, the experience of the Lord, then they would consider that you lost your salvation. But that is not true. You never lose your relationship with your Heavenly Father. You are born of God forever. But your relationship with Him is not good right now because there's something in the way. That's why our conscience is the main part and the most important part, because we have to exercise to confess our sins so that we can have a clear conscience and enjoy this flow. And there's a cycle in the footnotes which has always helped me in F. How about sisters read F? There's a cycle in 1 John, these first seven verses. And when you read them, you see they have received this life, they have fellowship with this life, they want to have fellowship with the brothers, but God is light, right? And then it talks about the blood of Jesus cleanses us from every sin. So we have, when we were saved, we received life, the divine life. You have life in your spirit. You have life in your inner being. And that life issues in the fellowship of this life, which is the participation, the flow of this life, the joint participation and enjoyment of this life. When you receive this life, you automatically are ushered into the fellowship of this life. But this life is God Himself, who is also light. So as we fellowship with the Lord, many times we're enlightened. There's something there that we didn't realize was there. Some offense to the Lord, something we said to someone, our co-workers, some sin we've committed, many things. Even the light gets deeper and deeper as you go on with the Lord and starts touching things like motive. And our brother mentioned this a lot yesterday, even our facial expression. You don't say anything, but, you know, my son says something to me and I don't like it. And so, you know, my face is like, I don't say anything. And he's like, what? What's wrong? And then I say, nothing, nothing's wrong. Whoa, yes, there's something. Why did you look like that? You know, you just say, you haven't said anything. You haven't done anything. But even just your posture sometimes, right? The Lord is light. So He shines. And when He shines, there's something there. There's a problem. He's shining on some sin or some problem. So we're losing the fellowship. So what? We need the blood. Immediately, we need to confess our sins. We need to confess our sins. And then the blood cleanses us. And He is faithful in verse 9, which we'll read later, faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what? So we get more life. Now the life grows. We get more life. And with more life, our fellowship deepens. And with deeper fellowship, there's more light. You know, God could not expose, if he would expose all of your sins to you right now, you would die. I mean, we couldn't take it. We just can't. We could not take it. So he doesn't, you know, I often thought about this when I would confess my sins and I just felt released and I'm enjoying the Lord, but I know there's other sins there. I even would tell the Lord, Lord, you didn't bring up everything, you know. Of course, he didn't answer that, but I know there's more there, you know. But eventually I realized he's not going to expose everything all at once. He's going to just little by little take his time to get through. So more life, more fellowship, more light. So what? More need of the blood. This is a cycle in our Christian life that continues throughout our entire Christian life. A very normal cycle, a very healthy cycle, and a critical cycle. We need to pass through this. You know, you may have heard this, or you may have even felt this yourself or experienced this, you know. The Bible talks about, you know, I think it's King James that says besetting sins, right? The sin that so easily entangles us, right? In other words, some of us, or maybe all of us, have something. There's one thing that you just can't get through. And you keep, you know. So some brothers would come and they'd say, you know, maybe I would go and say, Joe, I just can't get through this sin. I can't get through. It doesn't work to confess. I confess, yeah, and then I enjoy the Lord, but I do it again. And I confess, and I know I'm going to do it tomorrow. So I'm just going to give up. I'm just going to give up. Well, don't give up. And we got help with this years ago. Suppose you have two brothers, and they have this problem with something. They just keep committing, keep sinning. And one of them who feels too frustrated, I'm not going to confess anymore. I'm just giving up. Okay, so he just stays where he is and living in that kind of a sin, no growth. The other brother, he faithfully confesses every day, every time. And even he would confess, Lord, cleanse me. I know I'm going to do it tomorrow, but cleanse me anyway. And he just keeps. And the more he goes through the cycle, he grows in life a little more. Amen. And after a month, he's grown in life quite a bit more. Maybe after 2 months of confessing, he's grown in life enough so when that temptation comes 2 months later, he's able to say no. He's able to overcome that sin. So don't give up. Don't give up. Just keep confessing. Keep taking the blood. Don't be condemned. Just take the blood and go on. And we then the Lord is able to get us through this cycle. Now we come to the burden really here is on obeying the teaching of the anointing. I'd like you to open again to 1 John chapter 2. I want to read two verses on the anointing, which are on our outline, chapter 2, verse 20, and then verse 27. And we can read them all together. And you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know. 27. And as for you, the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you have no need anyone teaches you, but as his anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie. There is a very close relationship between the fellowship of life and the anointing or the intuition of life. There's a very close relationship. So in A, you have a little definition. The fellowship is related to the flow of life, which we've talked about a lot so far this weekend, the flow of life. But the anointing is related to the mingling of God with us, the mingling of God and man. The mingling of God with those, it says, belonging to him. So there's the matter of the fellowship. We need to participate in this flow of life. But there's also the need for us to be mingled more with God or anointed more with God. And so this word, anointing, that Apostle John uses is related to this matter of the compound ointment in Exodus chapter 30, the Old Testament. This is an gerund, the anointing, which implies an ointment, a compound ointment. And we don't have time to get into the details, but I would encourage you, if you haven't read those life studies on Exodus 30 and Exodus Life Study, I encourage you to read that, because there's a picture of Christ as the all-inclusive spirit in that chapter 30 of Exodus. And it has to do with all the ingredients of this compound anointing ointment that was to be made and compounded, like in the art of the apothecary, like a pharmacist would, you know, have a big mortar and a pestle and put different ingredients together to make a medicine. They made this ointment out of all these spices, and the main content was oil, olive oil, and which typifies the spirit. And the spices typify various things that Christ has experienced in his human life and passing through the process of death and resurrection. And those are all compounded in this ointment. And then that ointment was used to anoint the tabernacle and the furniture in the tabernacle. And it's very meaningful. And we don't have the time this morning. But the point is that we, that ointment, that is the anointing ointment that is in your spirit right now. Amen. That is in your spirit. That's what you have. In your spirit, you have the all-inclusive Christ. And everything that he has passed through, all the experiences of human life, all the experience of being rejected and despised, and eventually his experience of passing through death and suffering death on the cross, all are compounded into his being the life-giving spirit now. And his resurrection is there. And the resurrection life is there. And the anointing, the ascension of Christ is there. Everything that Christ passed through in the process that he went through of becoming a man to being ascended and made Lord of all of those experiences, all of those riches are now compounded in this all-inclusive ointment. That is what 1 John says, you have an anointing. Amen. You have an anointing. Every one of you have an anointing. We all have this compound spirit. And sometimes when someone says something to me and you know, I don't know, offends me or calls me, you know, a name or, you know, says something that's very offensive, right away I want to, you know, fight back and say, oh yeah, well, what about your mother, you know? I mean, I don't know. You know, we want to get back at them, right? But often, inwardly, in our spirit, there's a feeling, don't say a word. Okay? That is your intuition. Intuition is a feeling, a direct sense from the Lord. A direct sense from the Lord that is not affected by the environment. The environment is someone just, you know, I don't have a glove with, you know, in the old days, if people wanted to duel, they'd throw down the gauntlet, you know, the glove, and they'd say, okay, we're going to, you know, fight. Someone just threw down the gauntlet and called you something, right? And you want to just, that's the environment you're in. You just want to fight back. You just want to, you know, go after it. But something in you, don't say anything. When you obey that teaching of the anointing, when you obey, you know what happens? All of that ointment is anointing you. It's mingling himself with you. And included in that anointment is the death of Christ. The cross of Christ is right there. Doing what? Killing your response. Killing your wanting to get back. Killing your wanting to get your two cents in. And then, you know, he blamed you for something you did on the job. Now you want to tell him about all the things you know that he's cheated on the job or whatever. You know, you want to get back. But in this ointment, in this anointing that you have, is the death of Christ. The cross of Christ is there. And the resurrection life of Christ is there to overcome that petty argument or whatever it is that, you know, you're facing. Everything we need is in the Spirit. But you have to turn, right? You have an anointing. You have an anointing from the Holy One. You all know. And then verse 27 says, This anointing abides in you, and you have no need that anyone teach you, but as his anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, even as it has taught you, abide in him. This is a very precious verse and very deep in the experience of Christ. Of course, many times we need to have fellowship about things. But sometimes we can't have fellowship at that second, at that moment. But we have an anointing. And if you will turn to the Lord at that time, the Lord may say something. He may speak something to you. You may have a sense in your spirit to say something, preach the gospel to this person, or not to say something and get into this argument. You have a sense within. And you don't need anyone to teach you, because that sense teaches you. That sense teaches you. And when we obey that teaching, that feeling, that sense from the Lord in our spirit, when we obey, we receive a lot of anointing. A lot of anointing. And in the footnotes, Brother Lee mentions this, the anointing is kind of like a repeated painting of an item. Not only when you paint something, paint a bench or a table or, something in your house, you paint it, you are, you may be changing the color, there may be something more attractive there in the paint, but the paint is getting soaking into the wood. It's soaking into whatever you're painting, and it's protecting it. A lot of things are going on there. I mean, now we just did a little bit of renovation. There's some wood that was left exposed on the outside, and I called the contractor and I said, what should I do with that wood? He says, you got to paint it. And you have to paint it more than a few times. You got to keep painting it, so that the oil base, I think as he wants us to use an oil-based paint, anyway, that would soak into that wood because it's exterior, and to protect that wood and guard it against the environment, it needs a lot of painting, a lot of coats. And so do we. We need a lot of anointing. We need a lot of painting of the triune God into our being. And how do we get that? By obeying the teaching of the anointing. When the Lord says something to you, And I love this thing. And it's not according to the environment. There were many testimonies about being in the workplace and all the things that happened there. And there's a lot of pressure. I know, there's a lot of pressure. When I was working, I was in the entertainment business industry, it's a lot of pressure. Go to these parties, do these things, there's all kinds of things going on. And even, these things, and I'm sure it was similar in many of your jobs, it's good for your career. If you don't show up, people know that you didn't show up. And they tell you, if you don't go, you're not gonna, this director's doing a new show next year, you gotta go to his party, you gotta be in his house, And I know what's going on at that party. It's a terrible thing, Horrible things go on at those things. And I just didn't have, I just don't have any peace to go, But a lot of pressure. So your feeling not to go is absolutely against the environment because everybody's going. But you have a sense from the Lord, don't go. And that's happened to me several times. And I know I'm offending people. And I try to apologize to them and say, I'm sorry, I can't come, and whatever. And afterwards, there was this one party that I was, I just had this feeling, you can't go. You just need to leave. And so I even left before the party started. And then the next day I find out that place got raided, and half the people got arrested. There were drugs there and everything, it's a big mess. So the anointing, not only gain God, we can get saved from a lot of trouble. We can get saved from a lot of trouble. I feel this is a crucial lesson for us. We use this lesson a lot. Even with the young people, we use this lesson. If our young people, if our high schoolers can learn to follow the anointing in their spirit, they will be spared from a lot of problems and a lot of suffering. And many, many sins, they will be spared. But it's the same with us at this stage, on your jobs and working, and some of you are newly married, some of you have young children in the family life, different stages of the family life. We have an anointing. Amen. We have an anointing. And there's a lot of pressure, even with the children. I know, being here in the Northeast, a And a lot of the parents are talking about these programs and that thing and everything. I mean, I don't know where people get the money to do all that stuff. You have to learn to follow the Lord. You have to follow the anointing from within and learn how to follow the speaking of the Lord and obey the anointing. And then what? We get more anointing. We gain more of God. Amen. Let's read B together on the outline. A very close relationship also exists between the anointing and applying the blood. The sprinkling of the blood is to cleanse away all that should be there, and the anointing of the ointment is to anoint us with the elements of God. Elements, so the blood is taking away all the things that shouldn't be there. But the anointing is adding everything that should be there. Amen. Adding God and adding and anointing God and painting God into us, you know, all the time. It's a precious, precious thing. Forgive me for telling this story. I must have told it dozens of times. But anyway, I'm learning to practice this when we first came into the church life, how to follow the anointing. And those, you know, those are, okay, this is ancient history, okay? Before cell phones, before, you know, the internet, before personal computers. The dark age, I don't know. Anyway, this is a long time ago. Okay, I'm a big pen person. I love pens. And I used to write a lot of letters. And oftentimes in my job at that time, I would go, my job was looking for a job. I know it's hard to understand, but anyway. I would just, all day long, I'm going to different interviews looking for a job. And if I book a job, a commercial or whatever, you make the money after you. But you have to go look for them all the time, right? So I'm in Manhattan, going from office to office, and I could never avoid stationery stores with pens. I love to go in them and look at pens and shop for pens, you know. So I'm practicing this thing. Oh, Lord, which pen should I buy? You know, and I'd have a couple of pens. I'd look at them, and I'd write with them, and, oh, some of them were really nice. And in those days, I mean, I real ink pens, not ballpoint is really, yeah. These are real ink pens with a, you know, and you dip it in the ink. I bet some of them have, you know, ink things inside. Anyway, so I'm checking out these pens. And there used to be this famous stationery store in Madison, 41st Street, Airline Stationery. I think they went out of business. Anyway, so I would go in there, and I would, you know, oh, Lord, what pen? Which pen should I buy, you know? I'm trying to follow the anointing, right? But my thought was, if the Lord says, get this pen, it would be the cheapest one, but it would be a very high value, and it would never break or go bad. You get the best deal, you know? That's the Lord, right? That is not the purpose of the anointing. I just want you all to be clear. Because, you know, but I tried this. I tried, you know, and then the tie is another thing, you know. We go into Macy's and, okay, Lord, which tie? This tie, that tie, you know. And it's hard, you know, actually, I never got a real answer from the Lord. Sometimes I just had the peace, just buy that pen. Okay. Or just take that tie, it's okay. But anyway, what I learned from that, by practicing that, is I got a lot of painting of God in a department store. Or in a stationery store, or wherever I was praying about these things. How many people go into Macy's and pray about which tie they should buy? You and I do, but not, you know, but when you do that, what happens? You get a lot of anointing. You get a lot of anointing. Trying to learn the lesson of obeying the anointing, okay? But sometimes I failed. One time, anyway, I've told this story several times. I like watercolors of ducks. I like Audubon duck paintings. And so one time I was on the bus riding down Madison Avenue on the way to an appointment, and I saw in the window of this art store a beautiful duck, you know, watercolor. And so I got off the bus, walked back a couple blocks, went into the store, and I bought this. I think it was $125 or something. I bought this painting. And I, you know, inwardly, I have this feeling from the Lord, don't go in there and buy that painting. And I'm arguing with the Lord. Lord, you know I've always wanted one of these. You know, my whole life, when you're arguing, you know, right? I've always wanted this, you know, and this is before I got married. I was single, and I said, I'm making good money, $100. This is no big deal, you know. I can put it right there in my living room. It's a beautiful duck, you know. And so I bought it. And the guy said, okay, good, I'll frame it for you, and you can come back tomorrow and pick it up. And I said, great. And I got back on the bus to go down to my appointment, and what? No peace. I mean, no peace. I mean, the kind of no peace where you get a stomach ache and you feel physically like I might throw up any moment here. Each block, I went further away from the store, you know. And I'm fighting with the Lord. Come on, Lord, come on. But just, you know. So then I start, okay, I'm going to go back. But what am I going to say to this guy? I just bought this thing, you know, and what am I going to tell him? And I got no answer from the Lord, you know. So anyway, so I went back to the art store, and I walked in, and I said, you know, I'm sorry, but I can't take the painting. So don't frame it. I can't take the painting. I'm going to have to, you know, get my money back or whatever. And he said, oh, really? What happened? What's wrong? I just didn't know what to say, but just, you know, somehow, I don't know if it was the anointing, but anyway, somehow, out of my mouth, I said, well, you know, I don't live alone. And he said, oh, I get it. I get it. That wasn't a lie, was it? I don't know what that was. Anyway, we don't live alone. We have an anointing, right? So anyway, that's just a kind of an extreme experience, but I think you can get the point. You know, this is training us to follow the Lord. It's training us. The anointing is training us, and it's not affected by the outward situation, about the outward environment. It is a direct sense. This is a very important function. It's not the main function, and it's not, you know, the leading function. But it is an important function. We need to learn to follow the anointing. And that's very much related to the sense of life in your spirit. We need to be those who are living. And what is the anointing teaching us? It's not teaching us things. It's not teaching us that, you know, Toyotas are better than Hondas or whatever, buy a Toyota. It's not in that realm. It's teaching us to abide in Him. That's what verse 27. And even as it has taught you, abide in Him. Amen. And that's the bottom line. That's the main thing, that we would abide in the Lord. We would live Christ, right? That we would live because of Christ by eating Him and experiencing Him and enjoying Him. And this is very crucial as you're working, you know, young working saints, as you're getting married, starting a family, in this stage in your life. And I don't know, I just opened my heart a little bit, you know. Of course, I think we all have to recognize the Lord is blessing, you know, the churches in New York and New Jersey and, you know, in this region. The Lord is really spreading, and many young couples are coming here for work or for graduate school, and we're really blessed, very blessed by all of you who have moved here. I wasn't born in New York. The Lord moved me here for the church life. But anyway, I just feel like, brothers and sisters, you know, the church life, I don't know what the right description of the young working saints are. But eventually, you know, when we're raising up the next generation, they're going to school, we're taking care of the young people, the college students. Some go to the training, some get jobs. Eventually, even after the training, some may serve for some years, but eventually, I think 90-95% of the saints are going to be in this working saints category. You are the backbone of the church life. You're the strong, standing strength of the church life. You're very crucial to the Lord and to His body. Very, very crucial. So these lessons is not a small thing. These lessons is not a small thing. They need to be, you know, not just learn it for a little while. They need to be things that we practice day in and day out. coming to the Lord in the morning, enjoying Him day by day, and learning to follow the sense of life within. These are very crucial, crucial lessons to abide in Him, because that's how we know how to proceed with, you know, other decisions in our life. Those of you who are not married, about getting married, a big decision, a very important decision. And how do you really know? Many times saints will come to me, how do I know if this is the right one? Well, the only way is to follow the anointing. The only way is to know the sense of life and peace in your spirit. That's right. How do I know whether I should move to, you know, this district or that place or take that job? The only way is to follow your spirit and to learn. But if you don't learn these lessons in little things, then it's very hard in big decisions about career change or job or marriage or, you know, how to raise the children. I mean, you face, as we get older, we're going to face more serious problems, right? And harder to decide. They're not so simple. A lot of complications there. How do we decide? Eventually, the bottom line always has to be life and peace in our spirit. We have to abide in Him. Even if we don't know exactly how to go on, just abide in Him and wait on Him. Okay. Maybe we just read a little bit here. Knowing the teaching of the anointing is C. How about brothers 1? This is a very important point. Ricky mentioned this the other day. These functions here reveal God's will and His mind, His heart to us. So on the one hand, right, we're being anointed with God Himself. We're gaining the triune God, and He's painting us with Himself. On the other hand, He's revealing His mind and His will to us. Very, very crucial. Sisters, too. And under this or next to this, I'd write, this needs prayer. When you have some sense and you don't know exactly what it is, you should bring it to the Lord and pray specifically. Lord, I have this feeling, but I don't know exactly what you need or what you want, what it means, you know. And then the Lord has to reveal this in, you know, in your mind. You have to understand the Lord's mind in this thing. And the Lord's will. So it takes some prayer. It may not be the same day. It may be you need to pray a few days about this and sense where the Lord is leading you. Okay? Brothers 3. The normal feeling of the conscience is derived from the Holy Spirit, who is in our spirit and passes through our mind to enlighten us. This enlightenment is also a kind of anointing the Holy Spirit as the ointment. Therefore, the feeling of the conscience and the teaching of the
anointing are both derived from the feeling of the anointing.
So it's hard to separate all these things. We talk about them in different, you know, contexts and so forth. But actually, when you have some feeling in your conscience that you've offended someone or that you've done something wrong, that's also a kind of anointing. It just comes, a direct sense from the Lord. Let's read D together. Obedience to the teaching all together on one. In order to live in fellowship, we must live in the anointing and always sense the anointing. If we obey the teaching of the anointing constantly,
we can constantly experience the anointing and live in
fellowship. So obedience gains more anointing. If we don't obey, we lose the anointing. So we need to learn to obey the teaching of the anointing, and then the Lord will anoint us more, and we will gain more of God. I'm going to read 2 to you. With the anointing, the reality of His presence and sense of the light from His face follow. Therefore, by the anointing, we can experience the presence of God in a practical way. And 2 Corinthians 3:18 is a familiar verse, but we all with unveiled face, right? Beholding and reflecting like a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed from one right, from glory to glory, even as from the Lord's Spirit. So we need to be those who are beholding the Lord with an unveiled face. Everything clear in the conscience, unveiled. No veils, no sin there, and beholding him. And you know, this word mirror can best be described not like our, you know, common mirror that we, you know, have in our bathroom or in our bedroom somewhere. It's more like the calm of a lake. And I don't know if any of you were out there this morning, but after the fog and the kind of lifted, the lake was dead calm. And the mirror image of those trees was reflected perfectly in the, I took a picture, I'll show you later. Perfectly. And I feel that is the way, that's why our brother was sharing with us, you know, about spending our time with the Lord. We need to calm down. If the things of the day, when the sun waxes hot, the man is gone, right? We need to find that calm. And it's like that mountain lake that's just dead calm. But, you know, one stone thrown in and boom, 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 then, you know, there's no reflection. And that really kind of describes our experience with the Lord. In our morning time, we need to have that kind of a mirror. Just calm. Let everything else go. Forget what the boss is calling. Don't even have your cell phone anywhere near you to get distracted, and just behold and reflect the Lord. All together on three. The teaching of the anointing is the center of all spiritual experience. It is also a wonderful part of God's salvation. This is quite something. The center of all spiritual experience. That's saying something, right? And a very wonderful part of God's salvation. I always feel this is a tremendous aspect of God's salvation. And it's very personal. He knows your need. He knows where you are right now. He knows what you're concerned about, what you're worried about. He knows what you're anxious about. He knows what you're happy about. He knows all of these things. And in your spirit, he wants to anoint you. You have an anointing. So we need to learn how to know that sense and follow that sense and obey the anointing so that we can gain more of God. Amen. And we can enjoy more of the flow of this divine life in our daily life. Amen. How about we have a few prayers? Maybe we can follow one another for a few prayers, and the brothers can set up the microphones. We have time for, and you can share anything from the whole weekend or something you enjoyed in your morning revival. It doesn't matter. Just, we'd like to hear your portion. Amen.